podcast.
The Crin Canal is just one of many tourist attractions in Argyll and Bute that serves visitors and tourists alike. At just 9 miles long, it links Loch Fyne at Ardrishaig with the Sound of Jura, creating a pathway for ships through the Kintyre Peninsula on the way to the Western Isles. It's often known as Britain's most beautiful shortcut, and it's got a soft spot for me as I live alongside it. And there's a lot of investment going on at the moment in the canal, and I thought it was a good opportunity to talk to Catherine Topley, Chief Executive of Scottish Canals, who manage the canal. So here's my conversation with Catherine to tell you a little bit more about the canal, its history, and the works that are going on. So welcome, Catherine. Thank you for joining me. I'll have to declare my interest as being somebody who lives alongside the Crinan Canal. So this is a real labour of love for me today. But obviously the Crinan Canal is the one that we're interested in Argyll, but Scottish Canals manages so much more of that. I mean, perhaps you can tell people a little bit about the scale of what it is that you look after in Scotland.
Absolutely. So the canals in Scotland really are born from industrial revolution some 250 years ago with Thomas Telford. And the idea, the concept at the time was to create the canals so that they could move wares and goods, fresh water, etc., from one location to another quicker than using horses and people walking across Scotland. About 250 years ago was when the canals really started to come into formation as an idea and a concept. The Scottish canals used to be part of British Waterways, but it became a standalone public body in Scotland in 2012. And we cover in Scotland 137 miles of canal waterway network. And of course, as you mentioned there, we've got the Glasgow Canal runs, and we've got the Caledonian Canal, the Crinan Canal, we've got Forth and Clyde, Monkland, and the Union Canals. But our active canals, the ones that are predominantly utilised from a boating perspective, are the Caledonian, Crinan and Union Canals. And we also are caretakers for 17 reservoirs and the navigation rights to 4 locks, including Loch Ness up in the Caledonian Canal.
Yeah, I know, and I think it's that bit that people don't realise, perhaps all of the reservoirs and things, because I think I might be saying for the Crinan Canal it's 7 reservoirs and you can go up and walk around those, that you're responsible with, not just the canal corridor and also in around the Clyde Canal, I think, forth quite a lot of regeneration and a lot of land and buildings alongside the canal too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, that's one of the things that since the 2012 becoming part of part of that kind of Scottish landscape, we have really, really focused on the regeneration of our canals. The story behind them is beautiful when you go back to 250 years, but actually you only have to go back 20 years to see the recent rebirth of the canals, which had become quite deteriorated as a result of the motorways. So we'd had these wonderful canals built, and the canals obviously had run for a period of time and provided the opportunity to move resources around Scotland. At the same time, the motor vehicles came along and they started building roads. No quicker had they created a space where we could move things quickly, but then cars and trains very quickly became the thing, and the canals started to become obsolete very quickly. So over a period of years, there was quite a considerable amount of decline. And 20 years ago, through various groups that came together, there's a significant bit of work done in the Falkirk area, which we'll all lovingly know as the Falkirk, the roundabout Falkirk with the Kelpies, and of course with the Falkirk Wheel. And this took, a brownfield site that basically was not developable. No one had interest in it. It was a tar site, if I remember rightly, from the past. And we've turned this into a beautiful piece of environmental nature, community lost asset. But more importantly, it's the world's only rotating boat lift. And what it did is it stemmed that kind of next evolution of the canals. For the last 20 years, we've been rebuilding the canals in a purposeful way to make sure that they have a really bright future.
Yeah, and I mean I've been on the boat lift. It's stunning, and we've been very pleased to have the mini kelpies at our Drishig as well. To
Yeah.
in We're waiting for our permanent big kelpies, but we'll work on that one, or our equivalent, our own Argyll equivalent. But I mean, I think it's, that's one of the things that's so interesting to me about the Crinan Canal. And it's not only was it there for the transport of goods and things and speeding up the transport, as you say, but even in Victorian times, it was a tourist attraction in just in a different way from what it is now, with the Linnet steamer and the sort of tourism that was a gateway to the island, and visited by Queen Victoria. It was quite the attraction in its day. And it it's nice to see that tourism approach evolving for modern day as well.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, when you look at the Crinan Canal history, and you don't really have to be a history buff to get excited about this stuff. But 1771 was when James Watt surveyed the canal. And by 1794, the work had begun on the canal. So that's a gap in between the survey and starting the work. But 1794, the work begins. 1801, the canal opens. And I just, your head just is, I'm always blown away in terms of how in the past, people have managed to undertake such feats of engineering and ingenuity. Such a short period of time, people physically digging out that canal. 1801 it opened, which has been absolutely amazing. And of course, 1847, as you say, Queen Victoria and her family travel along the Crinan Canal, and that became the known as the Royal Route, which, as you say, became the attraction from the 1850s onwards, with people really being attracted to the canal because Queen Victoria had sailed through it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I'm not a major history buff, but I find it fascinating. And if people are interested, there's some great sort of videos and materials that's been done by the Dal Riada group here to sort of set some of that out. And I do think it's lovely now. And I know it's when it gets the time of year and you see the activity around the canal and the yachts and things and the puffer and things all using it. It's just lovely to see it come alive. And plus all the activity on the towpaths and what that offers is for people to cycle and walk, and just then it's a sort of spine to so many other things in the area that you can go and enjoy.
Yeah, and I think that's where Scottish Canal's like, I believe we're a really good partner in that way with Argyll and Bute. When I think back, there was a charrette held to engage with the local community around what would they, what do they envisage, what would they like to see. And in that time, what we've seen is a significant increase in the quality of the cycle paths, which has created cycle networks. And that really has brought with it substantial interest and cyclists in terms of coming to Crinan. From a boating perspective, we're seeing about 1500 boats pass through there every year, mostly leisure, some commercial. We've also seen, as you know, the piers being a significant in investment in the freight in the piers, and that's to allow paper and timber being transported around our Ayrshire and Ireland. And that's great commercially, but it's also fantastic environmentally, to have the lorries off the road and be using the natural elements around us. So that, you know, that again has been absolutely fantastic. And of course, you can't then not say these things without seeing, of course, you know, the work that's been done at the egg shed as well, and this, you know, the steam terminal, and how we've really tried to work together to bring all that together.
Yeah, and before we started recording, we touched on that. That was the last time you and I saw each other in person, and you know, that wonderful sunny day in 2019 when the egg shed opened, and what that's done to transform that area of our Dreshug and start to get some more of the regeneration going there. And you know, the businesses are, you know, if people want to, you've got the steamer terminal where you can go and have lunch and see some, you know, the mix of the tourism and the timber and all of that activity, which I for one love to go and watch all of that. Or you can go and hire your bike or your electric bike and enjoy the canal and then some of the forest trails. It's really sparking other local businesses and employment opportunities and things there.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I think, you know, COVID has it's been a really difficult time for everybody. There's no doubt about it. And we were chatting before this call, and you know, that my primary function as the chief exec at Scottish Canals was to make sure the staff were safe and that we were following Scottish Government guidelines. And as we've all become a little bit more educated and clear on what we can and we cannot do during COVID, we've also had to look at this and consider what are the opportunities that are presented here as much as the restrictions. And I think, you know, a community like Crinan and, of course, Argyll and Bute, in terms of that staycation market, managed well and safely, will provide significant contribution to the local economy. And that's something that I feel that will really, really obviously help blend that community and economy together. But also from Scottish Canal's perspective, the work that we've done to this point really helps drive that as well, because you want to attract people to an area that has been regenerated but still has really interesting stories around where it's come from and the history of them. I remember when I joined this organisation, the egg shed was already agreed and it was in development, and I came down to see it, and at that point in time it was a rubble of a shed. And I was saying to, and they were explaining this vision to me, and I'm looking at these three individuals and my team looking at them thinking, oh my God, I just don't see it. I just, you know, I'm really worried. I have no idea what you think this is going to have, what you think this is going to turn into, but I cannot see it. So we sat down and I said to them quite candidly, I said, you're going to have to help me, guys, because I am terrified. I've just seen this building and you know, what on earth are we doing? So obviously we talked through the history of the egg shed and the amazing stories, frankly, as well, and the opportunity for it to become a bespoke heritage interpretation, and obviously a core part of the community. And so we looked at that, and they demonstrated and they showed me that the public, the local community really wanted this, that they'd held the local charrettes and engaged the community. And you know, what do you want to happen in the square? How do you want to see these things come to life? So then they start bringing out the plans and the visualizations, and I say, okay, I can see it now. I can see it. I can see the community strength, the power. But how are we going to afford this? And of course, that's where the partnership was so fundamental between Argyll and Bute. Yeah. We had leader and Sustrans, Scottish Government, our Dreshug Community Trust, and ourselves. But yeah, that's a true partnership of £1.6 million that pulled that together for the egg shed. And I do think that will be a fantastic space for the community. And as we talked about these staycations and people travelling in terms of tourism, there's amazing stories when you walk around that, and it really brings it to life in terms of the interpretation centre. So it really does help the community to continue to grow and flourish.
No, I think you're right about those things happening in partnership, because that ability to leverage between us additional monies to come in and do that. And you know, I know we'll come on to sort of we've jointly got aspirations to do more. It's those things that, you know, doing that and doing it incrementally, we can get across the vision, and we start to see the benefits that come from that. And you know, I've mentioned you've got the steamer terminal and that restaurant facility, you've got the bike hire. That all generates interest and activity in the area. And I know you've got some of the canal cottages are a holiday accommodation as well. So again, it's all serving that staycation market, which, hopefully we'll be able to open up at soon and see it all come alive again.
Agreed. I think just even for a minute, just to just talk about the work that's going on along the canal as well. And we've talked about the history of it, but working really, really closely with Scottish Government, we've been managing to secure significant funds to invest in the canals across Scotland for the next 5 years, and that's been an amazing opportunity. So for Crinan in 2020, 2021, we've spent £3.7 million in the Crinan Canal in terms of the investment that we've undertaken down there, including some dredging along the canal to allow deeper boats, which will be really, really helpful. And we've been doing some upgrade work to lock 1, 2, 3, and 4 along the Crinan. But I think really fundamentally around the engineering, and I mentioned earlier about future-proofing, what can the canals be for the future? One of the aspirations around the work that we'll be doing this year, this coming year in the canals, and so when I say this year, I mean financial year, and so this will go until March 2022. So one of the next pieces of work that we're doing along the Crinan is looking at user operation. And this is going to be really fundamental because, as I mentioned earlier, we've got about 1,500 boats coming, through the canal every year. And, ideally what we'd want to do is be able to open that up for, extended evenings and certainly weekend activity, and allow people to use that, obviously on a paid basis, because that's what we're there to do, to try and bring some funds in to participate into the maintenance of these beautiful canals. But yeah, our aspiration is to make them very similar, I suppose, to what you would see down in England, where they're very much user operated, with a heavy caveat that the C2C lock gates will always have to have, trained individuals utilising them. But the ones in between, we want to make that a more leisurely or a more empowered experience for the boaters.
And I mean the work is amazing. I've lived here for 7 years, and it's the first time I've seen parts of the canal drained. And apart from it's fantastic to see that level of investment in the area. It's fascinating just seeing that the canals in the raw state as well, which I know because of restrictions a lot of people won't have had the opportunity to do, but it's I find that fascinating as well, and just then what that's going to do for for the future opportunities for the canal is fantastic. And in a sense, it's one of the silver linings of COVID that actually it's probably been one of the best times to do that kind of work, and great to see it's been able to carry on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, the Crinan travels far. So I've seen the article in the Argyllshire Advertiser, and it's got some of the photos of the Crinan being dredged down. And when it is emptied out like that, we do use the opportunity very quickly, just to check the bed and to see if there's anything historic or anything of interest that we need to manage while we're there. But yeah, some of those photos are really quite empowering. But yeah, I mean, I was also reading an article a few days ago from the Derbyshire Press. And there's a lady who had, been up in the Crinan Canal visiting, and during that they had brought with them a World War II warship on eBay. It's this, it's amazing. It's amazing in terms of, what people do, and then they're saying, right, this is it, I'm going to do this, and we're going to travel to these places, and we're going to do these things, and it's going to be amazing. COVID really brought out this whole staycation and DIY. People are really kind of getting into a different, shape of mind around what holidays can look like and what relaxing can look like and where they want to do that. And the Crinan is one of the places they named that they were really looking forward to that. So she's from her, she's saying, that they've called it Sarinda, And she's looking forward to being able to take the vessel on the Crinan Canal in Scotland and turn it into a luxury motor yacht. So there you go.
Wow, amazing. I mean
I
that
know.
it, I mean it's fab to hear those stories that people are, targeting this area because of the Crinan Canal, and that it's a bit similar to the story of the Vic 32 Puffer, which was, somebody found and abandoned and is restored and now operates as as a cruise opportunity. Based in Crinan, and it's lovely to see that, and there's a whole history and sort of programs about the history of the puffers and serving the islands and all of that. I mean, I know it's attracted, I can think of three or four TV programs it's attracted to the area, just in the last probably 2 years that have where people have been as part of travel programs or documentaries, and this is a stopping off point.
Oh, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, we've seen a resurgence, I think, haven't we, of canal type documentaries and selling the, what can be done and achieved and enjoyed on the canals. So we've seen quite a resurgence of them, and that's very welcomed. And that's not just about being on the water, it's about the towpath, the cycling, the walking, and really making sure it's open up to all of the community.
Yeah, I mean it's always tourism is such a big part of our economy, getting that kind of coverage and things for the area, and inevitably it's one stop on a journey that's often featured that and actually enables us to get the real attractions of Argyll out to a wider audience, and that I think that is always something that's great. So, and I think we did our bit because one of the last crews came and filmed the canal from our garden. So, it's I always do a little bit of a pinch me moment when I'm lucky enough to live in a place where people want to take that kind of opportunity, and it's one of the real benefits of being able to live in Argyll for me is living in a place like this. And but we've touched on the work that you have done and the work that's going on, but ultimately it's all steps towards a longer term vision, and we've got the heads of terms signed off for the Rural Growth Deal, so I think we're hoping that there might be more opportunities, and I know you've got a long-term vision for what you want to achieve for the canal and the surrounding areas.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, for us, and that has been the joy, is working with the community to understand the vision of the community, not the vision of the canals. We want the canals to be a community asset as much as it is a Scottish asset. So yes, I think, we have been working very closely, my team, with the Argyll and Bute Council, and we've been looking to exciting proposals for the former Gleaner site, and our Ardrishaig Harbour, utilising the kind of growth deal funding. But of course, there's a lot of work to be done there and explored and further, I'm sure, consultation and community engagement. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to think that the work that we've done so far demonstrates what we're able to do successfully together. And when we look at the Gleaner site and our Ardrishaig Harbour, I think we've got much more opportunity to do more together for the community.
Yeah, I think there were, there are real opportunities there, and there's this other planned regeneration that we're doing, which comes back to that point of partnership where things we do complement one another. And I think we continue to see this as you say, it's an asset for the community. It's it provides a good active travel route, but it is also that national international attraction that has a potential for real economic benefit that I think is so exciting for its future.
Absolutely. And we've seen, we feel we've seen that in some shape or form already with the regeneration and the investment that we've made already. COVID's been a really tricky time, you know, for everybody, as was touched on. But from the work that we did here, you know, in 2019, launching the egg shed, we'd only really started to get up and running, and then we were hit, of course, with COVID. But even in that small time, that small period of trading, we were seeing some really interesting people coming along. And part of that is about making sure that we demonstrate that there is a reason to stop in these places, that Argyll & Bute is wider and broader, and that we have many beauty spots and many historic spots for people to enjoy. And I think, you know, our work together around signposting them effectively is just as important as making sure that we get the tour operators and the tourism right. But we also have to get the balance right so that we don't overwhelm the communities. Because I know over tourism, I think, is a phrase they use in Holland, is something that people would maybe want to avoid. So the balancing of that across Argyll and Bute is going to be an important factor as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think so. And it's something we're putting a lot of effort into just now, to try and have arrangements to help manage the surge we think we might see from the staycation market while people can't travel abroad, and ensure people can still enjoy it, and that it, you know, that is sensitive to local communities who are here all year round. But it will be nice to see, you know, it being able to come alive again, and have be able to be used in the way that it was designed, and so see the vessels moving along the canal again. And you know, it's great that the works that you're currently doing, I think the completion of that is going to coincide with the opening up of tourism, and hopefully the sun will come out as it has done recently, and you know, that will be fantastic, and maybe more people will discover this lovely part of the world.
Well, I'm confident, based on my own family research of a staycation, that Argyll & Bute will be reaping the rewards economically of this. Having tried to secure some accommodation down that area, I'm confident that that will be a success. And I know certainly from Scottish Canal's perspective, one of the challenges we've had is a significant increase in the use of the towpath and some towpath manners. Just people understanding around, you know, being patient, cyclists reminding to ring their bells in advance or shout on your right, and people obviously moving into the side. It's been a real challenge when these towpaths are beautiful and able to use in a very kind of slow and languid way. But when all of a sudden you've got quite a considerable increase in that, that can be a challenge for individuals. So we're trying to manage the pace of the towpaths with the increase of demand as well.
Yeah, I know. It's I'll have to be keeping my dogs under control a little bit more for that as well, because they've been used to having it to themselves. But no, it will be a welcome challenge to see that come alive again, and look forward to it certainly. And when we start seeing people going through the locks here at Crinan, that'll be a good day. So we look forward to that, and everything that we're going to hopefully achieve together in the future. So thank you.
That's absolutely. Thank you, Pippa.
If you're interested in learning a little bit more about the Crinan Canal, you can go to Scottish Canal's website at scottishcanals.co.uk for more details, or perhaps check out some of the many programmes that have featured the canal, like Great Canal Journeys or Joanna Lumley's Home Sweet Home, to name just a few. And hopefully everybody will be able to enjoy it again soon. Take care.
Pippa's podcast.